Subscribe to TourCloud Radio on iTunes, Stitcher and Google Play, or download the Podbean app on the App Store or Google Play and search for TourCloud Radio, all one word.
You are now listening to Talk Loud Radio, sports, nerds, and pop culture.
Now, like every time I tell someone I'm a Heat fan, they always go right back to, oh, he must be a fan just because of Ron.
I mean, they were good at one point, you know, when they had Iverson.
So I would say you gotta subscribe to this podcast and my podcast.
What's up, podcast world?
What's going on, guys? All right, welcome to GoingFor2.com's press coverage podcast presented by Talk Loud Radio. I'm your host, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. That's Jeff spelled G-E-O-F-F. All right, guys, we got a great show as usual. First, I want to apologize for last week. We were unable to get a podcast up. I had some difficulties with the website that I was working on, plus my day job kind of got in the way. So we were unable to find time to actually sit down and do a podcast. But we are back for week four, so excited about that. Before we get into any of the stuff for today, I just want to quickly mention the two shows you can find on Talk Loud Radio besides mine. We have the Pay Me No Mind show with the host Wood. He covers a lot of sort of popular culture stuff, does a lot of boxing podcasts as well. He's a big boxing fan. He goes to local boxing places in his area, does some interviews with some boxers, and does some pop culture stuff, does some, you know, TV and celebrity type stuff, covers sports as well, a little bit of everything. So check his show out. It's the Pay Me No Mind show. And then the guys over at ClashOfTheNerds.com have their podcast called Let's Podcast, where they basically play a video game while talking about certain topics in the quote-unquote nerd community. They also do a wrestling preview review show every week called Armbar. So definitely check their show out as well. You can find them both on Talk Loud Radio. Of course, you can find Talk Loud Radio on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play. We're also on TuneIn Radio. Just search for Talk Loud Radio, all one word, and we should pop up on those services there. All right, guys, before we jump into talking to Shane, I just want a few things I wanted to go over real quick. If you haven't already, if you haven't signed up for your GOAT score, if you're not sure what that is, basically what it is for you DFS players out there, it's sort of a Madden rating. You can go to GOATScore.com to get your rating. And basically what it does is it takes all your DFS history, your wins, your losses, kind of puts them all together, compiles them into a nice little neat score. You're given a score between 1 to 100, and then you're able to enter contests based on that score with people in your skill level. So if you score a 60 and you want to play with people that are 60 or below, there will be contests created for that. Or if you're an 80, you know, whatever the case may be, but you play with people in your skill level. If you do sign up for that, you can join my squad, the Going for Two squad, which you can find the link on the website, goingfor2.com. It's in the sidebar. It's also in the menu where it just says get your GOAT score. Just go there, you know, follow that. You'll be able to link up and join our squad for goingfor2.com. All right, guys, there's enough promotion stuff right now, so we're just going to jump right into everything. We'll go ahead and get Shane on the line.
He goes by many names. The Jinx, the Curse, the Kiss of Death. His predictions aren't always wrong, but they are never right. GoingFor2.com presents, from the Talk Loud Radio Studios, Nostra Dumbass and the Worst Predictions Ever.
All right, guys, we are here with Shane, a.k.a. The Jinx. We haven't talked to him for a few weeks. We didn't have a show last week, so he wasn't able to come on and make his picks. But he's here today to make his picks. Shane, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, Jeff. You know, coming into this season as the Jinx, my picks haven't been too good so far this season. So I'd like to reach out and thank you for giving me that bye week last weekend. I think I got my head together now. We're going to make some good picks this week.
I think it's ironic that we didn't pick games last week, and your Redskins get their first victory. I think that might be a coincidence.
Nah, I wouldn't call it that, man. They played that themselves. I ain't blaming that on my jinx.
I don't know about that. We'll test it this week because they're playing the Browns. So if you pick the Redskins this week and they lose, I don't know. You may have to stop picking the Redskins.
We'll see, man. We'll see.
All right, let's go ahead and get this rolling. We're going to kick it off with the Panthers. A little disappointing so far this season, sitting at 1-2. Going to Atlanta, a division game, somewhere they typically struggle. I think Atlanta last year was the one team that actually beat the Panthers. So go ahead and give me who you like for this game and what we're thinking for as far as their bold predictions for this game.
I honestly think this will be a bounce back game for Cam. I don't really take the two losses that the Panthers have to heart. I mean, you got to realize they've played two of the best defenses in the league this year with the Broncos, and then having to go against that Vikings D, who just appears to be the best in the league, in my opinion, at this point. But I really see this as a bounce back game for the Panthers. And what better place to do it than Atlanta? Inside a dome, no weather condition, no variables like that. I just think Cam needs to get his head on his shoulders and get rolling. I know he can do it. I still have faith in the Panthers. I have faith in their defense. I don't think Atlanta is really that good, in my opinion. Of course, they've got a veteran quarterback with Matt Ryan there and the always deep threat Julio Jones. But I really see this being a very close game, division rivals here. But I think I got the Panthers stealing this one.
All right. You got any bold predictions for this game? Is Cam going to throw for 4 touchdowns or anything crazy?
I don't think it's going to be that crazy. I think Carolina's defense alone will step up this game. I think they'll keep the game close. Not to say their offense will make any mistakes, because I think Cam's having a rough season so far. But like I said, he's going against two very good defenses. Atlanta's defense isn't that great, at least not compared to Minnesota and Denver. But I got the Panthers winning this one 24-14.
24-14. All right. This might be a good time to also point out that with, Cam's struggles this year, that you actually drafted Cam Newton in our fantasy football league. So maybe the jinx has spread to Cam Newton as well.
Well, we have a beloved friend. I'll go ahead and call him out, Michael Tucker, who doesn't believe in the jinx. He's a diehard Panthers fan. So I don't know if I can agree with that statement, Jeff, because, him knowing the powers of my jinx and all, it just doesn't exist. So I think maybe Carolina's just having a bad season so far. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. So you're picking them to get back on the winning track in Atlanta. Let's go ahead and move into the next game here I got, and it's going to be one of those games that could be potentially high scoring. You got two not very good defenses. Weather should be good. We got the New Orleans Saints going to the Chargers in what is Drew Brees' sort of homecoming. He hasn't played in San Diego since leaving San Diego, so I know it's been 4 or 5 years since he's, left there to go to the Saints. But it's sort of his homecoming. He does live in San Diego, I believe, for part of the offseason. So what do you got going on in this game here? You got the Saints finally getting off the snide there and getting their first victory, or you think Chargers keep it rolling?
I think the Chargers are going to keep it rolling, man. The Saints are just – their defense is just god-awful. They're allowing up to 32 points a game. Well, newsflash, the Chargers are actually scoring 29 points per game. I think if Phillip Rivers can get in rhythm – I don't think the Saints have a shot, but I will say for all you fantasy gurus out there, fantasy players like myself and you, Jeff, this might be a game to stack, man. I think this might be a high-scoring shootout.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is basically what they expected the Giants and the Saints to be a couple weeks ago. Ended up being a defensive struggle, and I think a touchdown on special teams won that game. But I think you're right. I think Drew Brees' struggles on the road won't come into play here because he does live in San Diego. He's played in this, same environment before. So it's almost like a home away from home sort of with his with him being in San Diego. So I don't think we'll have that the road version of Drew Brees. I think the Chargers, they want to run the ball, I think, to keep Brees off the field. So Melvin Gordon is definitely a good play for your fantasy DFS guys out there. I think he's going to be one of the chalk plays, probably one of the highest owned guys. But you're right, the Saints are just awfully bad. I mean, they're terrible. I think I read a stat that last week against the Falcons, they had a total of 200 rushing yards in the game, and 150 of those rushing yards were before contact. So basically, more than half of the rushing yards that they had in that game, they weren't even touched, which is a ridiculous stat. But yeah, the Saints definitely are bad, and I'm with you. I think the Chargers get this victory as well.
Yeah, and everything you just said, man, I agree with. I think Breeze and company will do their best to keep it close, you know, with Willie Snead and Brandon Cooks there. But yeah, overall, I mean, their defense is just awful. I got this one, Jeff. I got San Diego 45. I got the Saints 38.
Wow. Okay, so definitely a high-scoring game there. All right, so that's definitely a good game to target for you DFS guys. All right, so with some trepidation, I decided to put this game on the schedule here because we do have a couple friends that are Cowboys fans, and of course, I'm a 49ers fan. I have a feeling you're probably going to pick my team just because you hate the Cowboys, but I figured I'd go ahead and put them on the slate here. So we got Cowboys, kind of surprising, at 2-1, going to my 49ers at 1-2. Who you got for this game?
Well, Jeff, I'm not going to pick your team. And what really encouraged me is I was actually listening to a radio interview with Ezekiel the other day, and I've never heard such a confident kid in my life. He basically went on and said that, you know, everything's starting to slow down for him. The light bulbs are ticking in his head. He said that he thinks this will be his breakout game against those Niners because they love the rivalry. And, I mean, Dak Prescott's doing his thing. You know, it's crazy to see these Cowboys being so successful with two rookies, but I mean, I got the Cowboys in this game in all honesty, and I don't think it's going to be close. You know, with the 49ers and Chip Kelly hoping to be their savior, you know, you really saw some light in their defense when they just shut down the Rams in what's probably the most boring game of the season. I mean, the only thing I remember from that game is that that play call, can't think of the guy's name, I feel really bad, but
Harlan, yeah.
Harlan, there you go. Just seeing that drunk guy out on the field when you're remembered from when you think of a game and remember that was the only exciting part. You know, you really don't know what to think of both of those teams, but you know, the Niners defense, you know, they have tendencies to shine, and I will keep chasing Vance McDonald, their tight end, and GPP fantasy pick for the rest of the season because I think that kid, you know, well, not that kid, but I think he's got talent. But I just can't see the Niners. I can't see the Niners being the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are rolling this season so far. And I really think Ezekiel may have what it takes to get to that next level. And this would be the team to do it against. So I got the Cowboys in this one.
All right. Good deal. I think I'm actually going to be picking my Niners, which obviously I'd pick my team. But let me just back that up with some stats here. The 49ers are a much better defense at home. They actually play that Rams game at home. The two games they lost, of course, were away at Carolina. And then last week they lost to the Panthers. I mean, I can't think of who we lost to last week now. I block it out. But anyways, so the two games we lost, we've been on the road. So I think they're better at home. And I think with Dez Bryant being out, I think the 49ers are going to treat this game much the same way they treated that Rams game, is basically shut down Ezekiel Elliott. You know, they shut down Todd Gurley in that first game and then make the quarterback beat them. And if Dak Prescott can beat them with Cole Beasley and Terrence Williams and, you know, Bryce Butler is in the mix there and Jason Witten, you know, he's like 97 years old. More power to him, but I just don't know. I think Dak Prescott threw his first touchdown pass just last week, so they're not asking him to do too much. So if the Niners can shut down that run game and force Dak Prescott to throw the ball, I think they might be in for a long day. The Niners, too, are actually really good at causing turnovers, which I don't think Dak Prescott has a single turnover yet to his name on the season. I think the Niners, I think, forced the Panthers into four turnovers. The Rams had a couple turnovers. So I think that they get a few turnovers on Dak Prescott. I think he might get a little flustered, and I think we steal this game. But I'm glad you picked the Cowboys. As a Redskins fan, I didn't think you'd go that route, but you picked them. So hopefully that jinx holds true and my team can get the victory.
Hey, man. Yeah, I mean, the stats that pop out at me is, the Niners are allowing 80. They've allowed 83 points this season. I mean, yeah, and going back to what you said, they are good at forcing turnovers. They're tied for fifth in the league right now with four interceptions. But I don't think that I don't see the Cowboys going that way. I think they're going to use Ezekiel as a workhorse this game. And I'm solely basing it off that interview. Like I've never heard a kid so confident in my life. You know, he wants to be the focal point of the offense. And I think this might be the Ezekiel show, but, Going back to your point, I think it was the Seahawks that they lost to.
Yes, thank you.
Last week, but I don't know. I think if the Niners stand a chance, they're gonna have to really stop these two, because Dak and Ezekiel are just having it their way right now. And I think if the Niners can apply that pressure and force those turnovers, and what better quarterback to force turnovers in than a rookie, they might stand a shot. We'll see, though. I mean, I got the Cowboys winning this one, 27-14, but you know, we'll see what the Niners can do.
All right. It'll be a fun game to watch, at least for me, because, like I said, we got a few friends that are Cowboys fans, so I'm hoping to get that victory, because I know we're not going to be very good on the season, but if I can just beat a few of my friends' teams, I'll be good.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so let's go to your game now before we get to the Sunday night, Monday night game. I mentioned it earlier, the Browns are coming to the Redskins in what was supposed to be RG3's return to the Redskins, you know, in his you know, debut as a Browns quarterback in Redskins. But unfortunately, as usual, he is injured. And then their second string quarterback, McCown, is also injured. So they're coming in there with a rookie quarterback. The Browns are very dysfunctional. Josh Gordon just announced that he's going into rehab, so probably won't see him in a Browns uniform again. I imagine they're going to cut him, most likely. So Josh Gordon is done. Corey Coleman, their star rookie receiver, is also injured. Their best receiver right now is a former quarterback in Terrell Pryor, sort of the new slash, so to speak, you know, of Cordell Stewart from back in the day when he was receiver, quarterback, running back. You know, it's kind of what they're doing with Terrell Pryor. So the Browns are coming to the Redskins. Redskins defense has not looked very good so far this year, but it is the Browns. So give me your predictions on this game.
Well, Jeff, I can tell you right now, if the Redskins lose this game, we are going to fire everybody. And I will be the most pissed off Redskin fan in the country, along with the thousands, hopefully millions, of other Redskin fans in this country. We're going to be calling for Gruden's head. This is the game. We are 1-2 as a Redskins fan. We're 1-2 right now. We win this game, we're back to 500. We lose this game, not only are we falling farther behind this Carson Wentz-led Eagles team with the Cowboys right there too at 2-1. This is our season, Jeff. I think this is it. If this is a playoff game, this is the playoff game. This is a must-win game. If we lose to this Cleveland Browns team, there is going to be chaos all over the DC radio airwaves, sports talk radio. They can't lose this. They just can't. I can do any equation, every single equation in the book that states how they can lose this game. The Redskins cannot lose this game, and they will not lose this game, because if they do lose this game, I will be there. I will be in the second level, row 10, section 205. I got family coming in town from Florida. I got my uncles coming in town. One of my uncles is a diehard Skins fan. We will be sitting there. If they lose this game, my mind will be blown, because I can't. So let's get to the game. For one, I'm actually a little worried. If you had to go back and ask me, who would you want to start this game as the Browns quarterback, I would have said RG3. I think that would have gave us even a better chance to win this game. I'm kind of scared of Kessler, to be honest with you. What did he throw last week? I mean, he didn't do too bad. That's kind of worrying me. But I will say one thing. I think last week, even though it was the sloppiest game ever with the Redskins and the Giants, I think something happened to that defense. I mean, granted, hear me out on this one. Love D-Hall. I was happy when he got here. You know, a little bit of support for Virginia Tech, I guess you can say. I don't really have a college team, so I respect D-Hall. But when D-Hall went down, he's out for the season, by the way, and when Breland went down, and then all of a sudden Sual Cravens started getting more snaps, who I've been cheering for this whole season, ready for him to get in there. And then you got Quentin Dunbar stepping in the mix. Our defense seems a little bit younger, well, actually a lot younger, and we seemed a little bit quicker. We threw Eli off there a little bit, got a few picks. I'm eager to see how this defense improves, maybe. You know, we got some young speed back there now, because our whole defense is pretty much hurt. Of course, Norman, I think he's the best cornerback in the league right now, because he's definitely proven it this year. All those key matchups that he had to target, anytime he was on those three receivers, that, you know, the Odell, the Dez, the Antonio, every time he was guarding them, they didn't do anything. So I think Norman's really proven his part. And going to the offensive side of the ball, Kirk Cousins is a very quiet fourth best in the league. Actually, he should be third. It shouldn't count Andy Dalton because he already played this week. But, I mean, Kirk is fourth in the league in passing yards. Granted, you know, he's had to make comebacks in every single game he's played pretty much. But, I mean, hey, it is what it is. A stat's a stat. So if Kirk can get back into rhythm, I mean, I just see him throwing over 300 yards this game. I think this is going to be a field day. I got the Redskins 31-10 over the Browns. And if they lose this game, I promise you, Snyder better call for everybody's head. They need to rebuild the whole team because that's how favorite I think the Redskins should be in this game. And Vegas looks at it that way too, so we'll see.
I'll tell you what, if the Redskins do lose this game, you know, Snyder may go after everybody's head at the team, but I can guarantee you all of our friends that are Redskins fans are going to be coming after you for making that pick and for being in the stadium for that matter.
there comes times when the jinx is only so powerful, but when you lose to the Cleveland Browns, especially this year, when two of their quarterbacks are out, they're on their third quarterback, their star wide receivers in rehab, I mean – How much worse can an organization be? Their head office and the GM is a baseball advocate. I can't remember his name. He's a baseball guru. He's brought in a baseball guy. I mean, how dysfunctional can an organization be? You sign a kicker on a Friday, he plays on a Sunday, and they lose the game by a field goal. Granted, all of their games, I think, have been within a touchdown. I'm a little worried, Jeff. I'm actually a little worried about this game as a Skins fan, but I still see no reason the Redskins lose this game. They need to get to 2-2. They can't get to 1-3 off the Browns. It's not possible. It can't happen.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think there's just no way the Redskins can lose this game. I think the only thing worse than losing to the Browns would be being a Browns fan because they have some of the worst luck. I mean, how many quarterbacks have they had in the last 15 years? It's something ridiculous, like 30-some quarterbacks. You know,
over 30. Starting.
Yeah, it's insane. So, you know, they've got some of the worst luck. They got Josh Gordon, who has a huge breakout season, and then you just can't keep away from the drugs. And I don't know. It's just a mess. So, yeah, I think Redskins get this game just from the sheer dysfunction of the Cleveland Browns there. All right, let's go look at the Sunday night game. We have another one of our friends' teams, actually friend of the podcast. He's been on a few times. Brandon also writes for goingfor2.com. He's a huge Chiefs fan, so his team is going to the Steelers this week in what could be a pretty good game for a Sunday night. Who you got in this game, and what kind of predictions you got for this game?
Well, don't look now, but looks like the Steelers got the best running back in the league, back with Le'Veon Bell returning from his 3-game suspension. That should add some spice to this. But I look at last week and going on the Steelers. I look at last week, and in all honesty, Jeff, you can help me out here. I don't know if the Steelers were that bad or if that Eagles defense was that good. I just don't know yet. I've never seen a Steelers team so shaken up. Like, I did not see that coming at all, what the Eagles did to the Steelers. And that really brings me into question how they're going to, you know, go against that Kansas City defense. One thing I see right now on the Kansas City side of the ball is Doug Peterson, you know, he really, with his screen passes last week, Eagles head coach, how they attacked that Steelers defense, Carson did a lot of checkdowns and a lot of screen passes, and it just literally shredded that Steelers defense. Well, you got Andy Reid, who was Doug Peterson's old coach, coming into town. Will he go towards that same offense? So we don't know yet. But I will say one thing, that Steelers defense was exposed, and I'm eager to see how Andy Reid, you know, attacks it as well. But in the same sense, is the Eagles defense just that special? Like, I really don't know. And this is kind of a hard game for me. Like, I think this game could go both ways. But in retrospect, Ben Roethlisberger is a Hall of Famer. They got Le'Veon Bell back, who I'm hoping – I don't know how many carries he's going to get because I don't know how they're really going to use him, you know, just getting right back into that offense. But, you know, since he tore his MCL – but I think he's going to be that added weapon that the Steelers need. I think the Steelers are going to bounce back. That whole organization is nothing but talent. I really think they give it to the Chiefs this game. I got the Steelers in a close one here, Jeff.
Okay, what's your score?
I'm going to say 21-14. It'll be a close, tight game.
close tight game. I think this actually might be a little bit more high scoring than that personally. That Chiefs defense has been pretty banged up. They're without Justin Houston. I think Tamba Haile, I believe, is still out. I think the Chiefs had something like 3 sacks on the year. Like, they just haven't been able to get pressure on the quarterback. And if you give Big Ben any kind of time whatsoever, he's going to shred your defense. I think the Eagles were able to get to Big Ben, and they were able to sort of slow that offense down. But you couple that with Le'Veon Bell coming back, I think the Steelers are just going to be too much for the Chiefs this week. But I think it could end up being a shootout, because I think the Chiefs sort of have the recipe to beat the Steelers, as you said, with the Eagles last week. And Doug Peterson, who's basically Andy Reid 2.0, I think Andy Reid runs the same type of offense. The Steelers still struggle with that kind of offense. I think the Chiefs could put up points, and I think the Steelers will also put up points. I think it could be a shootout. I'm looking more like a 35-28 game, but I think the Steelers
Wow.
win this game.
Hey, man, it's possible. I don't know. I look at this game. I just look at both teams, and I just see it being a very defensive, slower type game. I mean, Chiefs forced 8 turnovers last week.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to do that against Big Ben. And I know Big Ben is just still upset about last week. He already said in interviews, like, that was last week. We look forward to this week. Last week's done. Nothing we can do. He had the most stern face in all of his press conference interviews. So I know he's going to be focused this week. So I think it'll be an exciting game. But yeah, we'll see.
All right. So let's now go to the Monday night game, which is actually a pretty juicy matchup here. We got the New York Giants, who a lot of people picked to, you know, finish first in the NFC East. They haven't quite lived up to that yet. You know, their defense has been improved. Their offense hasn't been what they had expected it to be. I mean, they've got some good pieces there with Sterling Shepard, and Beckham really started to get his groove a little bit against the Redskins. And then you got the Vikings, who may be the most surprising team in the NFL right now. I mean, they weren't picked to be, you know, a great team, even with Bridgewater as the quarterback. But then they lose Bridgewater. They trade for Sam Bradford. And everyone's like, oh, Sam Bradford, you know, he's a career, you know, he's a number one pick that never really lived up to the hype. He's looked really good in his first couple games. Vikings are now 3-0. The Giants are going to the Vikings. What you got for this game?
Well, I think the Vikings just need to start a kicking net at cornerback, and that'll shut Odell down real quick. Had to throw the zinger in there, but this just goes to show how successful Mike Zimmer has been. You lose your starting quarterback in practice. You lose your starting running back for the year. You got to hand it off to the guy. I mean, Bradford came in here, had a great game. The Vikings defense might be the best in the league. What they did to Cam last week, it was just unbelievable. So if Eli is going to struggle against my Redskins defense, I mean, he better get together, because he's going against one of the best defenses in the league this week. But I think, you know, Eli will always find his way. He's a future Hall of Famer. They did get Odell going. I'll give him that. So, I mean, obviously after last weekend, Odell is probably livid right now. He wants the ball. And I think they'll find a way to get him the ball. I don't see Shane Vereen will definitely come back to earth. I mean, he played against probably the worst run defense ever, my Redskins.
Shane Vereen's out for the year. Did you know that?
I did not know that, Jeff.
Yeah, he's out for the year. Yeah, I forget what knee injury. I think ACL maybe, or maybe it was Achilles. But yeah, he's gone for the year. So I think the running backs, I think even Jennings is out for this game. So they're looking at starting Orleans Darkwa, and then their passing down back, I believe, is Bobby Rainey. So they are a little banged up in the backfield.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's been a busy week. I didn't see that. Well, regardless who they start back there, they're not going to be running against the Vikings defense like they ran against the Skins. But I just think this Vikings defense is too much for that Giants team right now. I want to give my Redskins credit, but if like I said, if Eli is going to struggle like that in the passing game against my Redskins secondary, well, this Vikings secondary doesn't play around. So I think the Vikings defense alone will grant them this victory. I still think it'll be a little close. The Giants defense can tend to shine here and there as well, but I got this Minnesota 24, New York 17.
All right. That's a good pick there. I think the Giants, the one advantage they have over the Panthers as far as in this matchup with the Vikings, is the Giants are more of a quick pass offense. They get the ball out of Eli's hands, you know, very quick. I think he's one of the quarterbacks that doesn't get sacked very much, not because they protect him well, but because he gets rid of the ball so quickly. Whereas the Panthers are more of a down the field type of throwing. You know, Cam Newton takes those 7, 8, 9 step drops, and I think the Vikings were able to capitalize on those drops. So I think as far as the Vikings getting to Eli Manning, as long as the coverage is you know not there, he can get the ball out, I think he'll be fine. But ultimately, I think the Vikings defense does sort of impose their will on the Giants. Like I said, their Shane Vereen's gone for the season. Their running back Jennings is going to be out as well. So you got Orleans Darkwa and Bobby Rainey in the backfield. That doesn't really strike any fear in their hearts. I think they're going to be playing pass. They'll probably double team a lot of Beckham. And if Sterling Shepard and Victor Cruz can beat them, they'll take that. But I think ultimately, I think the Vikings get this victory as well.
And I'm going to go ahead and say it for DFS players. I got Stephon Diggs with 2 touchdowns this game. Former Terp doing big things.
All right. Another bold prediction there just as a bonus at the end there. All right, man. So I think the last time we talked was for week 2 and you went 3-3. So, not horrible there.
There we go.
A little shaky there for a little bit. But I think you're still below 500 for the season. But I think you'll take 3-3. Looking at your picks for this week here, I think you're going to go – I'm going to give you 3-3 again because a few of them I think I was on the same team as you. So I think you go 500 again. But when we get to week 5, we got a bunch of teams on bye weeks. I think you're gonna falter in that week. But I'm going to give you 3-3 this week. What do you think you got this week?
Hey, I'll take 3-3, Jeff. I think this is a pretty hard week, to be honest. I'd say my only locks is the Redskins will beat the Browns, lock. Cowboys will beat the Niners, lock. Everything else, I think, is a toss-up. Steelers-Chiefs is very hard to predict. Chargers-Saints, I think, is hard to predict because that might end up being – that's going to end up being a shootout. And Panthers-Falcons, they're a rivalry, so, anything can happen in that game. Yep. My two locks are the Redskins and the Cowboys this week.
All right. That's it, man. That wraps everything up. We'll get you on the podcast next week, and we'll talk about your picks and see how they do. Appreciate you coming on, as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
A hero always lives, but a jinx never dies, Jeff.
Have a good day, man.
All right, Jeff.
Going 4-2, your number one source for fantasy sports with top-notch fantasy sports advice, an exclusive community forum, and some of the best and most knowledgeable writers in fantasy sports. Visit today at going42.com. That's going42.com. Going 4-2 features NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and more. And they also provide the best advice for your FanDuel, DraftKings, or daily fantasy sports site. Sign up for the Going 4-2 newsletter and get updates immediately through your email. And while you're on the site, make sure you check out the exclusive section, Why I Hate. That's going42.com, G-O-I-N-G-F-O-R, the number 2. Going42.com. Go visit and get the inside scoop of everything fantasy sports.
Gerson of the DFS Roundtable. Everyone knows him by now. He's on tonight to talk some NFL DFS. Again, guys, I just want to apologize for not having a podcast last week. I had a couple things going on. Was unable to get a podcast up, but we are here to look at week 4. Gerson, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good, doing good. How about you?
Not too bad, not too bad, man. I tell you, week 1 was good to me in the NFL DFS field, but week 2 and 3 have been a little bit of a struggle. So I'm hoping to get back on the horse here in week 4 and hopefully talk out some good plays tonight. You ready to do that?
Yeah, man, I'm ready, man. First 3 weeks have been great for me. I'm just so happy football is back, and it's just so beautiful every week.
I agree. I actually get 2 Sundays off in October. I'm super excited about that. I actually get to watch some football. Usually I have to work on Sunday, and I basically watch my phone and watch numbers go up is all I get to do all day. So I actually get to watch some real-life football in October, so I'm excited.
Yeah, man.
All right, let's go ahead and just jump into tonight's slate. We're going to look at just the main slate. FanDuel, of course, changed their main slate. It used to be a Sunday-Monday slate. Now it's just a Sunday slate. So we're not going to cover the Monday games, and we're recording this on Thursday night. So obviously we're not going to record include the Thursday night game. So we're just looking at the Sunday-only games. We'll start here with the quarterback position. Now, typically with quarterback positions, you either pay up or you go value. what week do you think this is? You think this is a pay-up kind of week? You think we're going to go for like a Cam Newton or a Phillip Rivers kind of play? Or are you looking to go value this week?
Well, for cash games, I'm going to play Cam Newton. Only one reason is because his stack partner, Kelvin Benjamin, is really cheap. So I do like that stack for cash game. A lot of people are going to pivot to Kirk Cousins because he's really cheap and he's in a great position and a great matchup. But I'm going to play Cam Newton for cash game. For GPP, of course, I am going to pay down. I always pay down. But I always look to try to get quarterbacks that play at home. So you mentioned one of them, Phillip Rivers, in a great position. He's 8,500. And then also Joe Flacco. I know it's kind of, you're like, what? But it's just, they're playing the Raiders, and this hurts me because I was hyping the Raiders up quite a bit. But now I'm more like, yeah. I guess we still suck. But Joe Flacco against the Raiders, we have a good stack with him. I like Steve Smith Sr. To be honest, Steve Smith to me is a great value play. He's 6,100 with Joe Flacco being 7,700. You can get that stack in pretty well. And to basically in a GPP, you're trying to aim for high ceiling, high scores. And they can both provide three times value. I mean, the Raiders, they just, they're horrible.
I think I saw a stat. The Saints, I think, over the last couple of years have two of the worst defense ever in the NFL history. And it was like 2012 and 2015 last year. And this year, both the Saints and the Raiders are currently on pace to be the worst defense, even worse than those two defenses. So, definitely, I can see your love of Joe Flacco there because Oakland, you know, they're traveling from the West Coast to the East Coast. It's a 1 p.m. start, so that usually hurts the West Coast team a little bit. So I can see your love there for Joe Flacco. I did want to ask you about Cam Newton because, you know, I did my research tonight, and I'm high on Cam Newton as well. I'm also playing him in my cash game. But I did a little research on him, and he actually struggles versus the Falcons. Actually, over the last 2 years, going back to actually the last 3 years, going back to 2014, he averages less than 20 points per game. Is that a worry of yours, or do you think it's just you know, just the luck of the draw? You think he'll be fine this week?
Nah, man, he'll be fine. I mean, football outside of the DVOA, they have Atlanta Falcons work as the they rank as the worst pass defense. I mean, they're 31st, and then Kelvin Benjamin just going up against the Desmond Trufant, I think that's his name. People fear him, but really, Kelvin Benjamin's so freaking big. He's like, I don't know how tall he is, but he's at least 6'5" and like 230. But I mean, he can put up good numbers. And then he got Greg Olsen, which they really suck at covering the tight end. They're among the worst. I think he'll be okay. And the thing is, he has to get on track on this game because right now the Carolina Panthers aren't looking too great. And if they don't get this game going, they're not going to be looking for Super Bowl repeat to get up there again. So I think this is a, hey, let's get this game going. Let's get this straight and let's put it on, you know?
I agree with you. I actually wrote in my article that'll be out tomorrow. That they're playing angry because they, you know, didn't play very well last week against the Vikings. I think Cam Newton got sacked 7 times. Kelvin Benjamin put up a big fat zero. I think he had one target the entire game. So I think they're going to be playing angry. They're going to come in and they're going to take it out on the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, the Falcons defense is not good at all. And you're right. Kelvin Benjamin is just so big that I don't think Desmond Trufant is going to be able to slow him down. At least not enough that you're not going to be able to pay for him. So I agree with you on those plays there as well. So we're going down here. Sorry, go ahead.
One thing I wanted to add is that today Cam Newton said that he would never, ever allow Kelvin Benjamin to go not basically catch a ball again. And so I'm a very big fan of narrative in football. If a player says he's going to do this, most of the time, at least 100% of the time or 90% of the time, they do it. And Cam Newton, you know, he's very vocal. And he doesn't care what the media thinks. He doesn't care what people think. He's going to do what he wants to do. And I just think at a great price, $7,600, I mean, We're looking at Kelvin Benjamin for the first 2 weeks as the highest target player, and he was getting a lot of volume. And now, just because he had one bad week against a top elite defense of the Minnesota Vikings, that would off him. No thanks. I will play Cam Newton and Kelvin Benjamin.
Agreed, agreed. I was in an argument with another group chat over Kelvin Benjamin, and they were saying that Trufant was going to shut Benjamin down, and I don't see it happening. So I definitely love that stack now. So let's go ahead and look at some of the value quarterbacks here. You'd already mentioned Kirk Cousins is a popular value quarterback. Is there anybody else down here? I know for a while there you were on the Marcus Mariota train, but he has Houston this week, so not a good matchup there. Then we got Dak Prescott, you know, with a pretty good matchup with San Francisco. Is there anybody else down here that you like, or are you think it's just going to be Kirk Cousins or pay up?
It's just like you said it. You said Dak Prescott, and I am gonna play him in my GPP. Like I said, I always try to target quarterbacks that are underpriced, and I think Dak Prescott with Dez Bryant being out, everybody's like, oh my goodness, his salary's going to go down. Really, it didn't make a difference because I don't think Dez Bryant was really that big of a target for Dak Prescott. I think Cole Beasley, which is a great value this week, we'll talk about later. Dak Prescott, he does a lot of his stuff very short yardage. Let's get, you know, first down, and then let's run it in. And his ability to run a touchdown in gives his value so much more. And he's playing the San Francisco 49ers, which is one of the highest-paced teams. And, you know, Chip Kelly's offense, they're just going to keep trying to score and score and score. So give me Dak Prescott, 7,200 for a great value play. So I'm going to take him. I like his position. I mean, they're going to win. You know they're going to run the ball. But the thing is, for some reason, they don't love to give the ball to Ezekiel, whatever his name is, Ezekiel Elliott. But, you know, they're just like Dak Prescott. He can throw the ball, run the ball, and he can get touchdowns on the ground. So I'll take it.
Yeah, I agree with that call a lot, actually, because as a fan of San Francisco 49ers, I know this Chip Kelly offense runs this super high pace offense, and they go three and out a lot, which puts their defense on the field a lot. And Dallas typically is one of the higher time of possession teams in the league. So they keep the ball forever, which keeps that defensive mind on the field even longer than normal. And then, you know, they finally get off the field and our offense goes three and out and they're right back on the field again. So I could see Dak Prescott having a sort of a big, you know, third and fourth quarter when that defense is exhausted because they've been on the field for so long. So, yeah, I definitely like that call on Dak Prescott. I could see him running the ball a bit more than he has been in the past, too. With that Dez Bryant injury, they're going to need to do a couple of different things there. So I could see him on some more designed type runs. Let's go ahead and move now into the running back position. Of course, the big news this week is Le'Veon Bell will be returning to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So he bolts to the top of the charts there, just below David Johnson. Johnson's 8,700, Bell's 8,300. We got Lamar Miller up there. We've got Ezekiel Elliott, you just mentioned. C.J. Anderson's up there. Of these guys that are sort of towards the top here, are any of these guys worth paying up for? Or are you looking elsewhere?
Well, I think we'll get to it later, of course, but there's so much value at running back this week. And when I say value, I mean, like, for sure, good volume, high target, solid value, that I am going to pay up for running back this week. My favorite running back, and here's the thing. When I say favorite running back, it's 1A and 1B because they're both the same to me. The price really doesn't matter because of the amount of value there is on the FanDuel slate. Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson are top tier to me. They're 1 and 2, and then after that, I drop another tier. To me, those two guys, they have everything going for them. Le'Veon Bell, last year, I told people, you know, don't worry about him coming back, because the last time he got injured and he came back from his suspension, well, he didn't get injured, he just came back from being an idiot and smoking weed, but he got 27 touches as a running back. He scored, he got 69 yards, I believe, a touchdown, 7 receptions, and 70 yards. And, I mean, that is solid value. And that's, even on DraftKings, that is so much more valuable since he's a PPR running back. But even if you get that touchdown, you get all those yards on FanDuel, he's going to be valued. And the thing is, Vegas has them ranked as one of the highest games projected to score the most. They have a 26-point projection, and Kansas City, they're not as good as everybody makes them to sound to be. I mean, they lost Houston, Ali, Holly, which one? What's his name? Ali. Yeah. Yeah, and they're not looking that great. I think they're going to be – and the thing is, Pittsburgh has said it. They're going to use Le'Veon Bell, the wide receiver, because they know that. Marcus Wheaton and the other Eli Roger and that freaking idiot that we were so high on that I could – I put my reputation online for you, Sammy Coates. How dare you? So I love Le'Veon Bell this week. Then David Johnson. David Johnson's just a beast. That guy, I just love him. He's my favorite running back right now in the NFL. It was Adrian Peterson, but he's hurt, but whatever. they have a great line right now, the Cardinals. So I like their line, and that's basically telling me that the game script is going to be in the favor of David Johnson. So I'm going to go ahead and play David Johnson along with the defense, stack him with the defense. But David Johnson, they're doing it right now. It's just people haven't really jumped on it as much as they should. But he's going to be the bell cow. He's going to get the catches. He's going to get the run. He's going to run the ball. I mean, I think Carson Palmer is fading a little bit. So I think they're basically saying, hey, this is David Johnson's team. What do you think, Jeff?
No, I agree. I'm with you on the David Johnson call. I'm a little iffy on Bell just because I don't know what – because, I mean, not only did he come back from suspension, but he was also injured too. So I know I've heard all the, you know, the same things you've had. You know, he had, you know, 27 touches in his last time he came back from suspension, and Tomlin's expecting him to have a heavy workload. I'm a little nervous you're playing him just yet because, I mean, he may be physically ready to go, but I don't know if he's mentally ready to go yet. So I'm going to give him one more week before I put him in my lineups, but I'm all over David Johnson. A couple other guys that I like too, based on their matchups. I like CJ Anderson a lot, going up against Tampa Bay. And of course you got to like pretty much everybody on San Diego Chargers. So I like Melvin Gordon going up against that horrible New Orleans Saints defense. Those are a couple of my top plays there. What do you think of those guys?
I love Melvin Gordon this week, man. Melvin Gordon is going to be a beast. And, well, actually, let me just say that. Jeff Lambert could be a beast against the San Diego Padres. So, against the New Orleans Saints. So anybody can be great against the New Orleans Saints. That run defense is just, what's the word I'm looking for? Not horrible, not awful, but is it putrid? Like, non-existent. There we go. When I was watching the Monday Night Football game and Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman, they looked like – I thought I was watching two different games at two different times, and I was like, man, the Saints really suck.
Yeah.
Wow, look at them. Oh, there we go. You know? But that defense is just horrible. And the over and under is great for that game. And I'm telling everybody right now, the highest ownership game is going to be in that game. Melvin Gordon is going to be projected really high. I think right now I have him projected at about 28.9%. And the reason why is his price. His price is, it's awesome. I mean,
awesome.
Why wouldn't – yeah, I mean, Melvin Gordon, let's see, where are you?
Is it 7,600?
Yeah, 76, yeah. So you got to take it here, right? You got to take it here.
You gotta play Gordon, exactly. I mean, I think he'll end up being the highest owned running back probably on the slate because they are playing the New Orleans Saints, but you pretty much have to own him. I think I heard a stat, speaking of that Atlanta Falcons Saints game, the Falcons had something like 230 yards rushing in that game against Atlanta, and 150 of them were before contact. Before contact. So 150 yards. They ran before anybody even touched them. That's just insane to me. Like, I don't understand how that happens. Like, it's just, I mean, I don't know how they could be that bad. I mean, they're an NFL team. Just grab them, touch them, do something. But, man, 150 yards without being touched, are you kidding me? I can probably run through that hole. All right, so let's go ahead.
And you know what?
Go ahead.
You know what's funny? If I, you tell me that thought, and here I am thinking, as a former, you know, high school football player, and like I played football my whole life, it's like you would think someone would touch him at the line of scrimmage, right?
It's something. I mean, just even if he bumped into somebody, that counts. I mean, they didn't touch him at all for 150 yards for that game. That's insane. Like 150 yards is like a good game for a running back just by itself. But to be not even touched for 150 yards is ridiculous.
All right. Put Jeff in. Let him play.
Let me get off my soapbox here and let's look at some more running backs here. So let's see. As we move down here, we've got, let's see who we got some good matchups here. We got LeGarrette Blount with going against Buffalo. I think right now he leads the league in rushing. We got in that same game with San Diego, we got Mark Ingram. We got Carlos Hyde, who I really like on DraftKings, not so much on FanDuel. Then if we really go down here, we've got Spencer Ware, who if Jamaal Charles is sitting out again and Charkendrick West is not playing, I really like Spencer Ware. Who else do you like down here? I know you like Jordan Howard, too, from Chicago. Is there anybody else that I missed?
Well, since we're looking at value right now, Mark Ingram. The San Diego Chargers are not that impressive either. And Mark Ingram, he finally bounced back last week. I know it was against the Atlanta Falcons, but I'm going to give him a chance. I mean, he's 6,800 against San Diego Padres. I mean, San Diego Chargers.
You're yeah, I'm still stuck out.
Well, I haven't played baseball for a month, but apparently I'm stuck on the San Diego Padres, the worst team in the MLB, but okay. But anyways. Mark Ingram at 6,800, and you already named one of them, and I believe he's going to be the highest owned value play. Jordan Howard, just play him. I'm telling you right now, if you play him, you're going to be so happy because, in my opinion, Jordan Howard's a beast. I've always said it, and I said it all year. Jeremy Langford is one of the worst running backs in the NFL. It's been proven in Pro Fantasy Focus and all over the insiders. People have said it, and it's correct. I mean, he just has one of the worst deviations as a running back. But Jordan Howard, he's a great running back. I like him. I picked him up in all season. Season-long teams, I picked him up. I mean, I'm playing him all over the field. He's probably going to be at least in 50% of my rosters this weekend, and he should be in 100% of my rosters on DraftKings for sure because his value at DraftKings is 3,700, so I'm going to take him. But Jordan Howard on FanDuel at 5,600, he's my basically, hey, plug him in and then, you know, rotate him out with other guys.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, too. I think he's going to get a humongous workload because he's basically the only running back they have there in Chicago now if Kadeem Carey misses the game as well. Another guy from that same game, actually, has been talked up a little bit about getting some more work after Theo Riddick didn't do much in his lead role, and that's Dwayne Washington from Detroit. Chicago Bears defense is not very good, and if Dwayne Washington gets some carries in that game, I could see him having a pretty decent game. He's actually minimum value at $4,500, so I think he could be a good play in that game as well. What do you think of Dwayne Washington?
Oh yeah, dude. You know I've been talking him up since last week, basically. I've been watching this guy in my dynasty league. I put in a bid for Dwayne Washington for two reasons. One, his spark score, which is like measured his athleticism, his whole game, college stats, like how he does. He had one of the highest ones among running backs. Number two, we already seen Abdullah get hurt. So I was kind of hoping, a running back would get hurt, and he did. Now Abdullah's out. Theo Riddick is a great PPR running back, but he's not a ball carrier. Dwayne Washington is. He's 230 pounds. He runs like a 4.6, a 4.5, I believe. And this is the Bears. They're playing the Bears, which, everybody's like, well, the Bears done okay. They haven't done that bad. Who have they played exactly? So, yeah, go look at who they played, and you'll know why. But This is a different team. We're talking about the Lions that put up a lot of points. They get in the red zone and they get the ball to Dwayne Washington. Yeah, I think they'll be okay. And he's only 4,500. That is a bargain for a guy that can probably get 14 to 12 touches. And he can catch the ball. Don't think he can't catch the ball. He caught the ball at Washington when he was in college. So I love your call. I love that call. And I'm going to be – he's my other running back that I'm going to rotate as a value running back.
Yeah, I agree. I think – I believe he in the last preseason game – I know it was preseason, but I think he had something like 123 rushing yards and a touchdown in the last preseason game. So I think he definitely has the opportunity there to sort of take over that Abdullah role in the offense. I think they'll move Theo Riddick back to a more of a passing down back. And Dwayne Washington will be their sort of bruising back in the early down. So I think for that price, you really can't afford to not play him in at least one lineup.
Yeah, you got to play. There's one more running back I wanted to mention because I've been on him, and I want to tell everybody because I know this is more we cover more FanDuel, but play Carlos Hyde at DraftKings. Have him in at least 100%. For 80%, I don't care. Just have high ownership of him. On DraftKings, his price is like, wow. It's just like he's 4,200. So for a running back that leads the league among the top and carries in the red zone, and also playing on a high paced team, I'm gonna play him. And I still like him on FanDuel. He's only 6,800. He's gonna be one of my mid tier running backs. I'll rotate him into. It's just, I don't know. Like, how do you feel about Carlos Hyde? I know you're a 49ers fan.
I like the call a lot, actually. Actually, on FanDuel, when I saw his price, it was like an automatic to plug him in because you're right. He's half of what he's priced on FanDuel at $4,200. And that's just a ridiculous value on FanDuel. On DraftKings, I think he's a little bit more where he should be at 6,800. So I don't think the value is quite there. But, I mean, he still will get the ball. He'll touch the ball probably 20 times. Especially if the 49ers can stay in the game, which I think they will be able to, at least keep it close for most of the game before their defense gets too tired. So I think Hyde definitely is a good call there. I think I like Hyde in this matchup as well. I think Dallas has got the best run defense in the world.
Okay, that's good to know. I'm glad we're on the same page here because I trust your gut and a 49ers fan.
Yeah, I've watched all their games. I mean, I had to watch some of them on replay because, you know, I have to work on Sundays. But I think Hyde, if he was in a better offense, I think he'd be one of the top running backs in the league. I just think that offense is so bad. Everyone knows he's getting the ball, and they're all keyed on him. And it's tough for him to find, you know, room to run. But he's been doing a pretty good job. I think he's had... I think he has 3 touchdowns on the season, which is, you know, not bad for a team that can't score any points. So, anyways, let's go ahead and move on to the wide receivers now. Of course, this is always the big one because there's like a gazillion receivers you can choose from here because there's so many. Of course, at the top is, you know, he'll probably be for most of the season, Antonio Brown. He's the only one above 9,000. Then we got DeAndre Hopkins. We got Julio Jones, who's been struggling so far this year. Alshon Jeffrey. Brandon Cooks had a bad game last week. Then we got my boy that I've been pumping up for pretty much all season. It's Mike Evans. Anyway, we dropped down. We got Kelvin Benjamin, which you mentioned earlier, as one of your top stacks. So of these guys up here, like, who are your top plays for your top tier guys here?
Well, one thing is Brandon Cook could kiss my ass from last week. But I actually, you know, I wide receiver for me every week in and week out, I have to get a six pack in order to, like, basically make this ranking because you have to look at so many things. I mean, you have to look at a wide receiver cornerback matchup. You have to look at the safety, see if they actually double cover wide receivers, the best wide receivers. You have to look at the pace of the game. You have to look at big, so many things. But, you know, one of my favorite wide receivers, and he's not getting talked up a lot right now, is DeAndre Hopkins. He had a 99.9% grade on the matchup this week. And just to basically tell you, that is the best grade you can possibly get besides 100. So he's going to be facing, he's going to be a great great play, because one team, they just lost J.J. Watt. And according to the research I've done, I showed you earlier on, the Texans' pace picks up when J.J. Watt's defense is, well, when J.J. Watt, when the Texans' defense is without J.J. Watt. So the good thing is this time they actually have a quarterback that can sort of damn football. So I love DeAndre Hopkins. He's probably going to be my number two play. I don't, okay, just so everybody knows, no matter what, I don't care the matchup. I don't care what week it is. I don't care. Well, actually, I do care if he's hurt. But Antonio Brown always will be my number one play. Antonio Brown's number one play, no matter what, every week, week in, week out. But I love DeAndre Hopkins. A lot of people are going to be on Marvin Jones. Don't get me wrong. I love Marvin Jones because of his price. And I'm going to keep playing him until that price rises up to about $8,500, which is like what DeAndre Hopkins is, kind of like a Ted Barry, Mike Evans level, you know. And I'm going to keep playing him. I don't care. People don't realize this, but Marvin Jones is Marvin Tron. He's the new Megatron. He's Marvin Tron. So keep playing him.
Yeah, I'm with you on all of those calls, actually. I love Hopkins in general. I love him this week especially, but I believe it's in our writers league for goingfor2.com. I think I took Hopkins like third overall in our draft, which is a bit high, you know, compared to where he was going in most drafts. But I just loved Hopkins. He hasn't had one of those breakout games yet, but I do think it's coming. I think it could be this week against Tennessee. So definitely love that call on Hopkins. I think I've got, you know, a good amount of ownership on him. And you also mentioned Marvin Jones. I have some good, you know, plays on him. I think a little bit of a scare there with the hamstring injury that he had today, but I'm reading everything. It seems to be minor, and he'll be okay for the game. So you love that matchup there with Chicago. I just want to take a minute, too, and pump up my guy one more time, Mike Evans. I know I'm being killed in every chat, every group that I'm talking about Mike Evans. Everybody's killing me because it's the Denver Broncos, and how could, you know, I pick a receiver against the Denver Broncos? But if you look at, you know, this is 3 weeks old, this season is. So the Broncos have matched up against Kelvin Benjamin in week one as a number one receiver. They had T.Y. Hilton in week two, and then they had A.J. Green in week three. Kelvin Benjamin in week one, I believe, had 6 receptions for 91 yards and a touchdown. In week three, A.J. Green had 8 receptions for 77 yards. He did not get a touchdown, but had he gotten a touchdown, he would have hit value. T.Y. Hilton struggled because T.Y. Hilton is 5'10". He's a small, fast guy. And then Moncrief got hurt early in that game, so they were basically just double-teaming Hilton on every play. So he had no opportunity to break out. But Mike Evans is more in the mold of an A.J. Green or a Kelvin Benjamin in that sort of big receiver, 6'5". You know, he's going to be able to get those targets. They're going to force feed him the ball because he's their best player. And now that Doug Martin is not playing, you know, he's out with that injury, he becomes their best red zone threat. He's 6'5", just throw it up there, let him get the easy touchdown. So I know everybody's down on Mike Evans, and come Monday, I may be eating crow on this one because maybe they'll shut him down. But at $8,000, I think he'll be low owned because of the matchup, and I think he ends up having a pretty good game here. What do you think of that call?
Okay, hold on. I just want to make sure we can pick this out. Because I have to put it, I have to get it. I mean, this is my reaction to this. I mean, hold on. You're killing me, Petey! You're killing me! Can you hear it?
Yeah, I can hear it. Nice.
So killing me, man.
I'm guessing this is the first argument we're going to have tonight. You're not on Mike Evans, are you?
You know, Jeff, here's the thing. You are a freaking genius, dude. Like, honestly, fantasy sports DFS, but I just can't jump on Mike Evans against the Broncos, bro. I just can't. And the thing is, I want to. Like, I seriously want to, because the thing is, he'll be low-owned. They'll be playing from, that's the thing, the over and under on that game is very low. But it's just, Jameis Winston has thrown over 110 balls this freaking season. Holy crap. What is he? The new Drew Brees, apparently? But, you know, and Mike Evans leads the league in target. So I can't say that I'll go against him. But you're killing me, Pete. You're killing me. I'm on the fence, but you know what? If you get this call right, I will bow down to you and say, all right, you were right.
Hey, I get my bold predictions right every once in a while. I think week one I had the 49ers defense as a top play, and no one believed me. Everyone was on the Rams. The Rams is the top play because the Niners, you know, offense is garbage. And look what they did. They went out and shut down Todd Gurley, and I ended up looking like a genius. Of course, my last call, I think, forget who I had last week as my top, my bold prediction, but it didn't pan out. I think I had Tajay Sharp with two touchdowns, and that didn't really work out so well. So I hit on my bold predictions once in a while, but I'm behind this Mike Evans thing's 100%. I've told everyone that will listen to me that Mike Evans is my play. And man, I hope I'm right, because man, I'm gonna be touting and talking, you know, for all week next week if I'm right. And if I'm wrong, I may end up not talking at all. I might just be quiet for a week.
Dude, you're gonna be the what you think that Homer Simpson meme where he hides in the bush? That's gonna be you.
That's gonna be Jeff. Me wearing a Mike Evans jersey, going back into the bush.
All right. So another couple guys I was looking around that range of 8,000. I've already talked them up enough, and I can only talk them up so much. Kelvin Benjamin at 7,700. I really liked him. Last week we saw Marvin Jones and the Dirty Nelson correlation go off. And they were both about mid-range. So one of my top correlations I have this week is Alshon Jeffrey and
Hoyer?
Marvin Jones.
Oh, Marvin Jones.
So,
okay.
No. Yeah, so when I say wide receiver correlation, I mean, these two guys, this game could be a shootout. And when I say a shootout, I mean, you never know. But here's the thing, though. I'm not talking about like I can see the Bears putting up 30 points, but they're going to be playing catch up. So that means there's going to be a lot of volume going to Alshon Jeffrey. And Marvin Jones, he tweaked his hamstring today. I'm not worried about it. Like I tell everybody, when you see these breaking news on Roto World, going for two tweet or whatever you see it on, don't jump on it. Because here's the thing: the NFL has changed the rules about questionable, probable, game time decision, and all that, because they've gotten more stricter. So coaches actually have to put out whatever they can find. Like if there's an injury, they have to report it, because if they don't report it, they get fined. And, you know, nobody wants to get fined for something stupid, you know. But Marvin Jones, Alshon Jeffrey, one of my top wide receiver correlation. My number one wide receiver correlation is going to be Julio Jones and Kelvin Benjamin. And then after that, I'm going to have any team from the San Diego New Orleans games. But I love Kelvin Benjamin, but, you know, Marvin Jones and Alshon Jeffrey, they can make a good play. But I don't know. It's like I said, there's a lot of games you can target this week.
Yeah, I agree. There's going to be a lot of games that should be high scoring here. All right, so let's look down here at some of the cheaper wide receivers down here. Of course, you mentioned the San Diego receivers. You got Travis Benjamin and Tyrell Williams are separated by a couple $100. They're down there in the $6,000 range. We've got, let's see who else is down here. Golden Tate, who, you know, they've talked about getting more targets to him in that same game with Chicago. So he's down there. You'd mentioned Steve Smith Jr. already. Jamison Crowder has been really good for the Washington Redskins. And you mentioned you liked Kirk Cousins in some of your GPP lineups. So Crowder may be a possibility for you. And then, of course, we go all the way down here, and we've got guys like Michael Thomas. You know, he could be good if Snead misses the game. Is there anybody else down here that I'm missing that you like?
Well, it's going to shock a lot of people, and you're not going to like it, Jeff. I know you. You're not going to like it. One of my top wide receiver value is going to be Kevin White at 5,500. Kevin White last week got six targets, about 7 yards, and Hoyer was looking for him. I mean, like, he was launching balls down the field for him to get the ball. I mean, here's the thing. Hoyer has nothing to lose. If he throws a pick, he doesn't give a crap, you know? He doesn't give a shit because he's going to get benched? Oh, well, you don't get a backup quarterback better than him. And Jay Cutler, even though he's the starting quarterback, he's not better than him either. So, and We got Kevin White at 5,500. This guy was a phenom in college with athleticism. And I'm not afraid of the Lions' defensive back. They suck. And Darius Slay, which everybody thinks he's a good cornerback, to me, he's an average cornerback. Alshon Jeffery will be with him. And Kevin White, he'll be wide open. So I'm taking a shot on Kevin White as my top value wide receiver. Number two is going to be Cole Beasley. Oh, wow. I never thought I would say a little short white guy would be my value player, but the thing about Cole Beasley that I love about him is, like, he's just a beast out there. Like, he just gets open. He does this. He does that. He kind of reminds me of Julian Edelman. I love the guy. It's just Dak Prescott and Cole Beasley stack is probably the best value stack you can get this week, you know? So I like Cole Beasley. Oh, of course, I got to mention, in case you live under a rock or you don't know the news or you don't know Twitter or you don't have internet. Well, if you don't have internet, you can't play FanDuel, basically. But Cole Beasley, Dez Bryant is out, so that's the reason why his value is going to go up. So Cole Beasley, he gets targeted so much by Dak Prescott. It's just, it's ridiculous. He makes the Cole Beasley look like a number one wide receiver when he should be like a number three. But I like Cole Beasley.
Yeah, I'm with you on all those calls, except for Kevin White. I'm not ready to buy into Kevin White just yet. He did get a lot of targets last game, so there is that. But I don't know. I'm not really ready to buy. He had that one ridiculous one-handed catch, though, so the talent is definitely there. So maybe I'll be wrong when Monday rolls around and Kevin White will have a big game. That price tag, too, I guess you really can't beat it. I mean, he's almost near minimum price. So if Kevin White ends up being a shootout, Kevin White could actually be pretty good.
I think he got what, 13 targets or was it 14 targets that Kevin White got?
Yeah, I think so. I think he had like 13 or 14 targets. I think he only had 6 receptions, though. He only brought 6 of them down. But that's some of that's a product of Hoyer and his accuracy issues.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and move into tight end here. And tight end is pretty much the opposite of receiver. We got a whole lot of nothing for tight end. We got a couple of good guys at the top and then a bunch of just other guys at the bottom here. So we got Greg Olsen at the top, you know, go up against Atlanta, Jordan Reed. Gronkowski has yet to really do anything this year. He's injured for the first few games and then didn't do anything in the last game. So he's up there. And then going down here at the, you know, it's sort of the mid-tier, you got Jimmy Graham, who had a big game. We got Jason Witten, who might be good with Des Bryant out. Who are we looking at for tight ends tonight?
Well, I said it before. I said it the last podcast we had. I never pay up for tight end. The only way I pay up for tight end is to keep my stack. And the only stack I see this weekend is Jordan Reed and Greg Olsen with Cam Newton and Kirk Cousins, but other than that, I am going to pay down, and I am going to go with either Dennis Pitta at 5,400 versus the Oakland Raiders, among the worst defense against tight end. There is one thing I want to look out for that. If Carl Joseph plays start, which they should announce in the next couple of days, usually the Raiders are pretty – Jack Del Rio is pretty good at saying, hey, this is what we're going to do, you know. But I'm a little cautious. Like, I'm kind of curious because I've watched the whole Raiders game this whole year. So, Keith McGill is among the worst safety I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen a lot of high school football players that play safety, and he's still among the worst. So, I like Dennis Pitta. A guy I like is Hunter Henry at 4,500 for the cheapest value tight end. But one of the guys I'm looking at is Zach Miller against the Lions. I love his price. He's 5,000, and he's facing the Lions. We all know what the Lions do against tight end. They have a lot of touchdowns for some reason. That's the thing. Tight end, I'm paying down. And there's Dennis Pitta, Hunter Henry, Zach Miller. And if we're targeting that San Diego-New Orleans game, you can still play Kobe Fleener. I am so happy Kobe Fleener finally broke out, man. I've been riding that guy since. You know how long I've been riding out Kobe Fleener. I died with him, but he finally broke out last week. And Drew Brees said it. Hey, I'm feeling more comfortable with this guy. And, you know, when Drew Brees says he's getting comfortable with the wide receiver, it's usually, yeah, you're going to be my buddy.
Exactly. I'm glad you mentioned Zach Miller because he's one of the guys that I put in my article. I think he's going to get overlooked. But the Detroit Lions defense is worst overall against the tight end. Of course, they've given up at least one touchdown to a tight end every week of the season. They gave up two to Jack Doyle in week one. They gave up one to Delanie Walker, and then they gave up one. I can't remember who the other tight end was that they gave up to, but they've given up a tight end in every touchdown to a tight end in every game this year. So Zach Miller definitely could be on the radar there at only $5,000. You know, if he gets a touchdown and a couple catches, he's already hit his value. So definitely love this.
He got two touchdowns last week. I mean, what more do you want from a guy besides getting touchdowns? Like I always tell people, I target for touchdowns as my tight end. And all those tight ends that we mentioned, they can all get in the red zone and all in a high over-under game. And, you know, it's just you don't pay for Gronk, for God's sake. Stop paying for Gronk.
Stop paying for Gronk, especially. Yeah, I like your Dennis Pitta call, too. I think I got Dennis Pitta in most of my lineups, actually, because the Oakland Raiders are pretty bad against the tight end. You know, they actually had – they played the Saints in week one, and they had Kobe Fleener there who didn't do anything that week because he didn't have the playbook. And then in week three – or, yeah, so week three they played the Tennessee Titans, and Delanie Walker was hurt. You know, so they've had two games basically with no tight ends, yet they still ranked ninth overall – or ninth worst overall for tight ends because of what Jacob Tammy did to them in week two. So I think that kind of tells the story right there that the Raiders are not very good against the tight end. So I love the Dennis Pitta call as well. So I think I have him in a ton of my lineups as well. All right. You want to talk some defense now? Because you know at goingfor2.com, we don't do kickers.
I don't know what a kicker is anyway. on defense, okay, so one of the things I've learned, and of course we don't do kicker here, but one of the things I've been watching lately is a trend, and they've been in a lot of top rosters, and a lot of sharks have been doing it. In case you don't know what a shark is, it's a top DFS pro player. They've stacked their kickers with their defense. So I'm going to start doing that because it has turned out to be a good ROI and a good investment in projection and total point. My number one defense for this week is Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals are my number one defense. They're at home. It's a -7.5 money line against the Rams. The Rams just freaking suck. It's just, you know, Tampa Bay. You know, here's the thing. Tampa Bay did great. Yeah, whatever. Okay. I mean, they did good against the Tampa Bay. But whatever. They don't have a pass defense. The Arizona Cardinals, they have a pretty good pass defense. They can stop the pass, and they can stop the run. So, I'm sorry, Todd Gurley. You're great, but you're not that great. But I love Arizona and Chandler Catanzaro. Another defense I really do like this week, and a lot of people won't be on them. And, you know, it's just the New York Jets. You have to look at it this way. Cross-country trips take a toll on a team. It's really hard. And we have the Seattle Seahawks traveling all the way to New York Jets. Russell Wilson's playing with a bum ankle. Is it a bum ankle or a bum knee?
A bum ankle, right? He's got a bum ankle on one leg and a bum knee on the other leg.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's basically handicapped. And if we know one thing about the New York Jets, they get after the quarterback, and they're at home, and 4,400, that is a discount price. I'm not going to stack them with the kicker, but with the Washington Redskins also being a good defense at underpriced, and, you know, it just, to me, I don't like playing up a defense too much. Unless they're in an elite position. And the only defense I see in an elite position is Arizona Cardinals and maybe the Broncos. But the thing is, when you have freaking Jameis Winston throwing the ball 40 times a game, you never know. He can actually probably put up two touchdowns just by random luck, you know? But, yeah, I like Washington Redskins, New York Jets, and Arizona Cardinals as my top defense.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Jets for sure. That cross-country sort of trip does take its toll. It's also why I like the Ravens a little bit too. I know the Ravens have been sort of the benefit of a schedule. They've played nobody basically, and they're ranked as a top defense as far as yards given up because they haven't really played anybody. But I think they are improved, and I think with the Raiders coming to Baltimore, you know, West Coast to East Coast, 1 p.m. start time, that could affect them a little bit. I like the Ravens a little bit. The Redskins, I'm actually off on the Redskins. I don't know if I like the Redskins. I do live in Washington, D.C., so I hear and see a lot. They can't stop the run, you know, at all. And they've got, you know, Isaiah Crowell there who's been actually doing pretty good this year. He runs, I think he's averaging over 5 yards per carry. So I think the Browns will be able to move the ball on Washington. And then in the passing game, now they don't have much of a passing game threat. But the Redskins are going to be without D'Angelo Hall, who's on IR, and possibly without Prashad Breeland, who famously, of course, gave up all those big touchdowns to Antonio Brown. But he is actually a pretty decent corner, and the guys they have behind him are even worse. So I'm a little nervous about Washington. I know it's like, you know, it's the Browns play the defense playing the Browns. But I'm a little nervous with their defense already not being able to stop the run. And then also with the injuries they have in their secondary, it could be a little bit of a scary game for me.
Well, I agree with you. I am nervous as shit with the Washington Redskins. But one more defense I wanted to mention, and this is just like, pull the rabbit out of the hat. New England Patriots defense against the Buffalo Bills. Not a lot of people have been talking about it, but I like the New England Patriots defense versus the Buffalo Bills. And the reason why, no Sammy Watkins and Bill Belichick is a genius, apparently, in case you didn't know.
Yes.
But this guy can take a one-dimensional offense to basically the shittiest offense in the league. So right now, in my opinion, the Buffalo Bills are a one-dimensional offense because they're running everything through LeSean McCoy. As we saw last weekend, LeSean McCoy was a monster. He's just basically one of the best running backs in the whole week. So I think Bill Belichick will find a way to get LeSean McCoy out of game script and will put some pressure on Tyrod Taylor. And to me, no wide receiver on the Bills really impressed me. So I think the New England Patriots can actually get up on the game and then they'll play the LeGarrette Blount role and have him run out the ball.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I like the Patriots a lot as well. I think I had them as one of my defenses and one of my lineups at least, because yeah, they're a pretty good price, and I think they're underpriced because they have been playing pretty well. They shut down, you know, the Houston Texans. You know, they put a big fat zero on the Patriots. So I think the Texans have more weapons than the Bills do, with, you know, DeAndre Hopkins there and Lamar Miller. And if they're putting up a zero against the Patriots on them, I think that the Patriots can definitely shut down the Bills without Sammy Watkins. There's no threat of the pass at all. It's going to be all LeSean McCoy. So I think you're right. I think Belichick finds a way to shut down McCoy and forces Tyrod Taylor to beat them, and I don't think he can do that. So Patriots are definitely
I have a question for you, Jeff, because I've been asking a lot of people, so I really want to get a lot of people's opinion on this. A lot of people were on the Houston Texans defense before J.J. Watt went down. What's your opinion on them now that J.J. Watt's not going to play?
I still like the Houston Texans defense. I mean, I know J.J. Watt's one of the best defensive players in the league, and they're going to miss him. But I think, especially this week, now if they're going up against the top offense, I don't like him quite as much. But going up against Tennessee, I think they're still in a good position there. They're at home. They play much better at home. I think they still have enough talent defensively to shut down the Texans. So this week, I still like them. Now, going forward, that may change. But I think, you know, J.J. Watt is a big part of that defense, but I don't think it's enough that I'm going to be off of them for the Tennessee Titans. What do you think about them?
Oh, man. Like I said, I've been asking everybody, so I don't know what to think about them. It's just, to me, it's just like hope for the best and pray for the worst. I don't know, whatever it is. But I like the Rebels' defense better right now than the Houston Texans. But the thing is, I don't want to be that dumbass that didn't play the Houston Texans against the Tennessee Titans, one of the worst offense in the league, in my opinion. I understand everybody loves DeMarco Murray because of what he's done through all these games. But playing at Houston, You know, they still got Vincent Wolfe, they still got Christian, and, you know, they're just a good defense. It's just, I know J.J. Watt is a huge, he's the best defensive player in the last 5 years, or the last 6 years. I don't know how long he's been in the NFL now, but the thing is, I don't know. Like, I really want to watch the line, and that's probably the most important thing right now. And when I say the line, I don't mean the defensive line. I mean, like, the line on Vegas line, because Vegas really projects pretty well how the defense will do. So right now they're at about a minus 4.5. So if I see that line getting to a minus 2, I'm going to get off them because I just can't risk it. I mean, J.J. Watt is such a big force.
Yep, I agree. I think if the Texans were a little bit cheaper, I think if FanDuel had adjusted the price, you know, based on the Watt injury, they were cheaper. But they're priced as a top four defense at, you know, almost $5,000. I think the risk is too much that they aren't what they, you know, were with Watt. So I think I'd be off them as well. But I think from an NFL standpoint, I think they'll be okay defensively, especially in the division that they play in. It's a weak division. I think defensively they'll be fine. So I'm just not playing this week in DFS for sure.
Okay, thanks, man. I really appreciate that. Like I said, I've been trying to gather as much feedback as I can on that defense.
All right, man. Hey, another podcast in the books, man. Week 4 will be in a couple days. I know you're excited. I'm definitely excited. It's good to get you on the podcast again, you know, after missing last week. So we'll link up after the games on Sunday and see how you did.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, best of luck, and I hope you kill it, man, with your 49er defense and whoever. I'm just kidding. I just hope you kill it, Jeff.
All right, man. Good luck to you.
I just hope you kill it.
Talk to you next week.
Take care, man.